Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you to let you know that one of the organizations that has been birthed out of Bethany Baptist Church is the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. This fall, we will be offering four classes: Right to Life, Right to Choose. In this, we'll look at the subject of abortion and give us a more comprehensive perspective in light of God's Word. American Sign Language, where we teach people how to sign to the deaf culture in the Christian context. We also have biblical counseling, where we train people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have apologetics, where we defend the Christian faith. The classes begin this fall. They are all Zoom classes, so you can take them right from the convenience of your home. If you are interested or want more information, call 412-242-3255. To register or for more information, call 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of On the Road Again, Part 2, from Psalms 51. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of On the Road Again.
You've gotten off the zealousness for God. You've got away from the songs of God. You're not after God's heart anymore, but you're after your heart and the heart of other things, and you're not a righteous person. Maybe that's where you are today. What a blessing it is to know that we can get back on the road again. David, the saint, but look at this. David, the sinner. David, the sinner. In my devotions last week, I've been reading back through the Bible this year. And I came across this passage, and I'm sure that I've read it 100 times before. But this passage hasn't stuck out to me like it did the last time I read it this week. And I'm going to ask that you would turn there. And it's 1 Samuel 15 and verse 5. This passage, I don't know why, maybe because I'm in the midst of preaching this 51st Psalm, that this passage jumped out at me. And I had missed it time and time again. Excuse me, that might be, let me check that. It might be 2 Samuel. Is that 2 Samuel? Well, I'll get it straight. I got it here somewhere. I know where it's at. I know I read it. Now I'm going to find it for you too. Okay. Sorry about that. You can make that correction. It's actually 1 Kings 15, 55. 1 Kings, make that correction. 1 Kings. Read this passage time and time again. But look what it says here. 1 Kings 15 and verse 55. It was talking about some of the descendants of David, and they make a reference to David in the midst of talking about his descendants. And it says here in verse 5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. And look at the sad, sad footnote. Sad footnote, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Man, do you see what that's saying? That when David got right with God from a child, that the whole time his heart was after God, that he was concerned about righteousness. He was concerned about loving God and serving God, except one time. I was talking to somebody week before last, and they were telling me about this youth pastor who went online, and he got caught up talking to this young girl on the internet and began to say some things and act inappropriately, and come to find out that the mother of this girl was actually in the habit or the process, and it wasn't a police sting operation or anything like that. She was just doing this on her own. She was in the habit of doing this to catch, you know, online predators and to turn them in. This youth pastor, by his own confession, that's the first time he ever did it. The first time he ever dealt with this issue of child pornography and going online and having communication. He got busted and he got exposed and his ministry was destroyed because of one thing. One thing. And David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, a man after God's own heart, David, a righteous man, all those things that we know about David. Guess what's that one thing that sticks in our mind about him? That often we mention the life of David, but when you mention his life, we often can mention it without mentioning or with mentioning the fact that he committed this great sin with Bathsheba. And here in this footnote in 1 Kings 15, it says that David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. All the days of his life. Except only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Man, that speaks volumes. That should speak volumes. That means that you should always watch your testimony. Always guard your mind, guard your heart. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I was going to speak at a camp down there. And I was in the airport, Atlanta, Georgia. A place where you don't think nobody would know who you are. Walking through the airport. And somebody ran up to me and said, "Reverend Glaze." I said, "Oh my goodness, who is that?" And they said they were here, they met me. I did a wedding here at Bethany. And they were here at a wedding at Bethany. Man, you don't know. You don't know who sees you, who's watching you. But more than anything else, my friends, be assured of the fact that God is watching you. That God knows. And God had it recorded in the scripture that this man did everything right all his days. Except one thing. And that one thing got him in big trouble. Big trouble. Look at Psalm 19 real quick. Psalm 19. Oh, I'm trying to finish this for y'all, saints. I'm trying to finish this for y'all. I don't want to turn this into a 3-week series. No. Psalm 19. David, once again, writing in Psalm 19. Look what his prayer. And I got to confess that I didn't study the background of this to find out when David wrote this, whether it was before or after his fall. So I'm not sure. But look what he says in verse 13. Psalm 19, verse 13. "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright." And look at this. "And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Not from the little one. Not from telling a lie about somebody, which is bad enough. Or not from doing something that I shouldn't. He said, from the great transgression. David was concerned about the great transgression. Are you concerned about the great transgression in your life? Maybe it might be the great transgression is in your marriage. You got to keep those little presumptuous things out from causing that damage. Maybe it's those soft choices that you are making along the way. You know, a lot of God's people make soft choices along the way. And the next thing they know, they end up with the great transgression. David said, "Lord, keep me from the great transgression." Like I said, I don't know if he wrote that before or after. But if he wrote it after, you know that he was saying this with a heart, knowing that I've been through this through experience. I've been through this firsthand, and I don't want to go back through it again. Keep me from the great transgression. Look at David's sins. David's sins. This one sin. Look at the sins that this led to. Slothfulness. He should have been out. This was a time when kings went to war. David was asleep. He came out in the afternoon. He should have been up on the battlefield, or at least up anyways. Slothfulness, lust. He saw Bathsheba taking a bath, and he looked at her, and he lusted after her in his heart. Adultery, he sent for her, and he had a relationship with her, and she got pregnant. Deception, he said, go get her husband, bring him back from the battle. You know, we want to recognize him. We want him to be honored. We want him to be with his wife. Deception was a part of this. Drunkenness. He got the man drunk. He got him drunk, trying to get him to go back and be with his wife. And then finally, when all else failed, murder. He had him killed. The great transgression. You see, when you sin, it not only affects one area of your life. When you sin, it affects many areas of your life. And think about this. It not only affects many areas of your life, but it also affects other people. It affects other people. That when you go into that sin, you don't go in. Look who David affected. It affected Bathsheba. It affected her husband. And just think about the guys who went to tell her to come and be with David. What was in their minds? See, your sin affects many others. See, you know, I know this is hard preaching on sin. You know, I had somebody say, you know, Pastor, I don't come to Bethany anymore because y'all preach too hard on sin over there. You know, I wanted to go over here because, you know, they don't preach that hard on sin. You know, I can do what I want to do, and I don't have to hear that I'm wrong in doing it. Okay. Well, this is, you know, I'm trying to think. I preach the message on the power of God. I preach the message on the good. So, you know, if I preach a message on sin every See, some folk don't want to hear. They don't want to hear about this. And they don't want to be confronted with their sin. But God is a sin confronter. God takes your sin and he brings it all up in your face. And look at David. Because of David's one mistake led him to a multiplicity of sin. Now I'm going to move through the rest of this pretty quick. The first thing, and we talked about this, is that you got to make a U-turn. On the road, you got to change your actions. There's got to be a sorrowness of heart. You've got to regret what it is that you've done. You got to realize that this sin has broken the heart of God, and you got to turn away from the sin. You see, repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. You got to turn around, and you know, I do have this PowerPoint presentation, so if you don't get the notes, we'll, you know, get them to you. The second thing is that you've got to go around the bend of brokenness. You've got to go around the bend of brokenness. In Psalm 51, look what David said in verses 16 and 17. He says, "For thou desirest not a sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise." You've got to go around the bend of brokenness. There's got to be brokenness in your life. The next thing we see is that you have to detour down the corner of confession. Look what he says in verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." You've got to go down the concourse of confession. The word confess from the Greek word homologeto means to say the same thing that God says. And when we confess, we are saying the same thing about our sin that God says. God said in the word, in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." When David confessed, what was he doing? He's saying, "Lord, I'm saying the same thing that you said, that this is wrong." You've got to detour down the concourse of confession. And then we see you've got to merge onto the freeway of forgiveness. You got to merge onto the freeway of forgiveness. He says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression." You've got to merge onto the freeway of forgiveness. Look at verse 9. "Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Man, isn't it good to know that God is a forgiving God? And it doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, what you have done. Even the youth pastor that got caught up in the internet child pornography, that even though his ministry may never be the same, thank God that he can stand before God knowing that his sins have been forgiven. And you know what? That's a beautiful thing. Not that you fall into sin, but it's good to know that when you sin, if you come with a broken heart, if you come confessing, that God will forgive your sin, that he will not hold it against you. He says, far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your sin from you. As I've said before, somebody said, how come he didn't say the north from the south? Because at some point, north and south meet. But as long as you go east, you'll always be going east. As long as you go west, you'll always be going west. East and west never meet. God said, I will remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. He said, I'll take your sin. He said, and I'll put it in the middle of my back, and I won't see it anymore. He said, I'll take your sin, and I'll bury it in the deepest lake, and I'll post a sign that says no fishing. Amen. God is a sin forgiver. David, lust, slothfulness, murder, drunkenness, adultery, wiped out, forgiven. Forgiven. God is a forgiving God. Somebody asked, or this atheist made a statement on her deathbed. She said this, what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. Who forgives the atheist? If you don't believe in God, who you still got your sin. You know that you do wrong if you're an atheist. You know that wrong is wrong. And as an atheist, if you don't believe in God, you still got to carry that sin with you. But thank God that we have a God who forgives sins. Oh, I like what Martin Luther woke up one evening and he found himself under attack by the devil. And the devil pulled out a piece of paper and it had all Martin Luther's sins on it. And Martin Luther said, is that all? And the devil pulled out another piece of paper and it had all Martin Luther's sins on it. And Martin Luther said, is that all? And the devil pulled out another piece of paper and had all Martin Luther's sins on it. And Martin Luther said, is that all? And the devil finally said, that's all. And he said, quickly, right on each one, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses all sin. David is crying out to God. He's crying out to God, God, forgive me for what I've done. Man, it's a beautiful thing to know that you have forgiveness for your sin. You know, David was walking around with all this guilt, with all this pain in his heart. He was walking around carrying it. And you know what? There may be someone here today. Man, you're walking around with a load of guilt from sin in your life. And you continue to carry it. And you continue to carry it. And you continue to carry it. Man, somehow, some way, you need to get before God. And you need to release that thing. You need to release it. David said, blessed is the man who's transgressed. Look at Psalm 32 real quick. Real quick. Psalm 32. Real quick. Psalm 32, he says here, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to stop here. I got to stop. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, it's like if you're walking around like this, and all this stuff is bottled up in you, is pent up in you. You just carrying it around. You just carrying it. You can't hardly breathe. It's just on you. And then all of a sudden God says, forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. I know for 20-some years in my life, I carried around my sin. And I didn't know if I was where I was going to go. When I died, And every night I would lay my head down on that pillow. I didn't know. But when I gave my heart to Christ and I got saved, man, it was just like a weight. It's like God just came down and as the choir sang about it, lifted that load right off of me. Man, it was a load that was lifted. And I wasn't sinless and I wasn't perfect. But you know what, man? It just seemed like my life was so much lighter. And why was that? It was because I had been forgiven. Man, if you never experienced forgiveness, look what David said. He said in verse 2 of Psalm 32, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity and in whose spirit is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones became old through my roaring all day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I'm going to close with this. But look in your notes or on the PowerPoint. In Psalm 32, David proclaims the blessedness of the one whose sin is forgiven. Before he confessed his sin, there was inward grief. My body wasted away through my groaning all day. The hand or the power of the Lord was heavy upon me. Verse 4, God dealt severely with him. The result was that his vitality, his strength was sapped or dried up as the summer heat. This expression may refer to physical illness with burning fever, or it may describe in poetic language the remorse of the conscience. David was taking a beating. God was wearing him out with this sin. If he got in his car, he didn't have any peace. He went to the job, he had no peace. He took a lunch break, he had no peace. He came home at night, he had no peace. He tried to lay down, and when he tried to lay down, it just continued to eat away at him. And then finally, he came before God, and he confessed it, and he received the forgiveness. Man, there's nothing like forgiveness. Nothing like forgiveness. You know how it is. Some of you husbands and wives, when you get angry with each other and you, there's that tension that goes on between you, you know, sometimes you don't even want to go home because you know what the tension is like. You home, you trying to stay in one room, hoping that your wife, husband don't come down here, don't mess with me. We just need some time, we just need some space. Oh, y'all quiet, y'all know what I'm talking about. All that tension in the home, trying to you find whatever you can just so you don't have to go home because you don't want to deal with it. But you know what? When things get right, it's a joy to go back to your house again. Man, it's just peace to go back home again. See, and that's what David was experiencing. David was experiencing that tension that goes on between a husband and wife when they're at odds with each other. But when he got it right, man, his life just got peaceful again. On the road again.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Fine-Tuning Your Focus on the Lord from Psalm 73. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, On the Road Again, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. And it's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Myrna Patterson reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.